Welcome to The Practical Intuitive, where each Monday at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 Eastern, where host Robin Fritz explores mind, body, and spirit for the real world. Because we are all intuitives and healers, and we must all learn to love ourselves and live that love every day. Robin is a trained and certified intuitive and spiritual consultant and hypnotherapist with an international practice based in Seattle, Washington. As the practical intuitive, she covers personal and business intuition, animal communication, mediumship, space clearing, past life regression, shamanic insights, energy healing, soul choice. It's all here. Readings, healings, and funny, warm, thought-provoking conversations. It's Robin Fritz, the practical intuitive, helping you mastermind body and spirit for the real world. No ifs, ands, buts, or BS ever.
Welcome to the practical intuitive, mind, body, spirit for the real world. It's Robin Fritz, and we're live in Seattle, Washington. So it is August 6, 2018. And it seems like, wow, how did we get to 2018? I don't know, but there are some things I do know about, and that's what I'd like to talk today about. And we're following up from last week's show on what is that all about, part two. And it's following up on questions from listeners, questions from clients over time, you know, all of us trying to explore the universe together, what's going on in the world, how do we look at it, what do we see, how do we share what we see and what we know about the world. So let's jump into that after we cover a few basics here, and that is that my work is about helping everyone learn to tap their own intuitive and healing abilities, because we all have them. They are not gifts. They are part of us, just like our life is a gift maybe, but people think intuition and healing are something that other people have and that if they might have a little bit of it, it's extra special. It's not. It's just a skill set that we need to learn to use. And when we do that, we discover there's far more to the world than we knew about. And that's what we'll explore more about today. But as we jump into that, let's first start with a quick meditation with the crystal Fallon. Fallon is a citrine Lemurian quartz, very ancient power crystal. He's a healer and a truth bringer. We have been together in many lifetimes and came back together in this lifetime, my current lifetime, in 2009. So if you imagine that you're connecting with him in the way your intuition works most strongly, feeling, seeing, hearing, or knowing, just go ahead and let yourself connect with this ancient energy as we run through a quick grounding meditation, if you will. So starting at the top of your head, bring mind, body, and spirit together. And as you breathe down your body from your head to your feet, just let the cares of the day wash away. Just let your energy clear out and give you this time to be with yourself and with the rest of us in community here. Starting at the top of your head, breathe down your face, your shoulders, your chest, your hips, your knees, and your feet. The top of your head to the bottom of your feet. And now as you feel that rush of energy as you breathe up from your feet to the top of your head, just allow your intuition to come to the fore, your healing abilities, and welcome, if you would like, that healing energy from Fallon. Moving up from your feet, past your knees, your hips, your chest, your shoulders, your face, and the top of your head, your crown chakra. At the end of the show, we'll close that back down and you can go back about your day. So every week on this show, we talk about a variety of subjects, all having some connection to the practicality of our intuitive and healing abilities. If you would like to share your questions, your comments, whatever, you're welcome to call and talk with us live. That number is 202-570-7057. In every show, I'm always open to quick, short, intuitive readings as well. If you're shy, please email me at my website, robinfritz.com. That's R-O-B-Y-N. FRITZ.com. robin@robinfritz.com, or tag me on Facebook at The Practical Intuitive Robin M. Fritz. And it'll end up in a list of questions that I cover in a show like this, or sometimes a few questions during a regular show. So today I want to go back to what I was talking about last week. I get a lot of questions from people either in workshops and webinars, people that email me because they're too shy to come on the show, which is fine. That's awesome. And just in regular conversations with people where we talk about things that the rest of the world either doesn't talk about, doesn't believe in, or hasn't explored. So there's nothing there for them to chat about. And some of those questions last week, we talked about, you know, are Legos alive? You know, what is alive and what isn't alive? And really, the mind that I practice, I call planetary connection. I developed it not on my own, but in my work with non-humans, from everything that is here on the planet to things that are not on the planet, other beings. And that really is, we are all able to connect with all life on the planet. Everything is alive. Everything has a soul, has consciousness, has a job to do, a responsibility to do that job, but free choice about doing that job. And definitely everything out there has opinions. But when my intuitive abilities were reawakening after years of my ignoring them and years of, you know, physical disability where chronic pain pretty much prevented me from doing anything. When my abilities were opening back up and I was walking around and, you know, introducing myself and meeting other beings, I discovered the reason I was meeting them and other people weren't was that I was simply interested, number one. And number two, I recognized that they were there, right? So you can't really have a conversation with something you don't think is there, right? And because I was respectful, and this is what I teach in my classes, respect other beings, approach them as equals to you because they are, and they will respond to you in like manner. They are out there eager and interested, eager to chat with us, eager to share their knowledge, to learn about what we know. And that way, all of us making this contribution to our conscious evolving planet and to the multiverse, which we'll talk about today as well. So when you do that, you know, and people say, well, why should I bother about talking to the rain or the tree or whatever? Well, first of all, it's fun. Secondly, it really opens your eyes to the variety of life on the planet. And third, it really makes your everyday life easier. Why? Because it takes away from us the burden of us being in charge of the world. We're not caretakers and guardians in charge of the planet. We're one of many equals. And when we realize that, the world really opens up for us. It's like there's this huge weight of this responsibility we think we have, but there's also this wonder about, wow, oh my gosh, how amazing the universe really is. And when you find out that you're moving in company and in concert with other life forms, everything just gets easier. Now, I know, you know, I had two surgeries this summer, cataract surgeries, little things, but, you know, all kinds of things happen in our daily lives. But I promise you, when you open yourself up to the world of equals, of being willing and eager to converse with us, to connect with us, however our intuition works, you will realize how remarkable you are as a human and how remarkable all life is around us. And that just makes it easier to connect, and it makes us more relaxed and more expansive in our lives, allowing us to be more creative, to be more productive at work, to be more loving members of our families. If it worked for me, I promise you it will work for you. So today, one of the things I want to talk about is, for lack of a better description, dreams. Now, there are people out there practicing whole philosophies about what dreams are and what they mean to us. And, you know, honestly, they mean so many different things. And it depends on the type of dream. And I touched on this last week when I told a story about meeting my grandmother who had died 6 months previously. And I was dreaming about a big building. And she came and she said, I came back to talk with you. Kind of like you need to get your life back on track kind of thing. You need to do this. You need to tell stories for the good. And I'm like, what the heck is a story for the good? And I learned over the years, but dreams aren't just visitations from our dead. They are a lot, you know. And so when clients ask me, I had this dream. And recently I had a mediumship client came and sat down, and we had this conversation with her loved one. And she said, well, I had this very vivid dream, and she described it, and she described all the sensations that she was having in this dream and what her loved one said to her. And I said, yes, that was real. That was a real visitation. And, you know, how awesome it is for you that you had that, you know. And I hear from other people, too. It's just we think, well, I've been obsessed about them because they died and I'm thinking about them all the time and I'm lonely and I'm grieving. Well, there is a part of our brain that during our sleep time processes our turmoil of the day, our fun things of the day, what we experienced that day, and tries to make sense of it, tries to give us information for tomorrow. I mean, that's innate survival instinct operating at full speed. So, of course, you would be thinking about the loved ones that you lost. But thinking about them and then going to sleep, or even inviting them to join you in your sleep time, those things are real. They do happen. And welcome them when they happen. And take a moment to jot down your experience of talking with your loved one during a dream. And accept that, you know, it could be them having fun with you. It could mean that they're just wanting to say goodbye again, that they realize that this separation is permanent, because it is. They're not coming back in that same body. If they do come back, and a lot of times our loved ones do, especially our animal families. So value those dreams. At other times, dreams are something else. Precognition is the ability to know when something is going to happen, you know, and it is, and has been studied by scientists. And as much as I love science, I also like to poke fun at them, because why not? They poke fun at us all the time, those of us who call ourselves professional intuitives. But dreams are also precognition in terms of people do dream about things that could happen in the future. Will they happen? Not necessarily. And I don't believe in fate. I don't believe that, you know, we're here and that something is going to happen 3 weeks from now and that's ordained by something. Astrology, tarot can describe it or whatever. Because there's always free will involved in every action. But precognition will show you a possibility of a future. And listen to that, because it may be warning you of something. It may be warning you, if you dream about a loved one dying or being ill, you might check in with them. Find out, have they had a checkup recently? You know, that kind of thing. It could be your subconscious warning you and telling you that something is coming forward. So what I'm trying to say is that while dreams can be visitations from loved ones, they can be also teaching dreams, and as I'll explain in a moment, it can also be your brain literally processing information that you haven't either taken the time to sift through during the day, or it hasn't actually sunk into your active everyday consciousness. And in your sleep, it's your brain processing that and kind of going, hey, pay attention to this. There's something in here for you to look at. So that's one thing. And dreams is also giving us, you know, information about what we're doing in our life. There was a period of my time when I was really active, and I'm always learning, always trying to grow and expand my skill set. But one time when I was actively learning, I was actively learning in my dreams. And I remember a night waking up partway through this dream and noticing that there were a few other humans around me, so that there were a small group of us, six, maybe eight people, being taught by this person who, as I recognized, was still alive in a body, as we were all alive in a body, but we were learning from this person in our dreams. And we were practicing, the only word I can use for it is magic. We were practicing using our abilities to play with the world around us. And a safe place to do that is in your dream time, where you're not actually messing up, you know, something that's going on the planet. And I remember starting to practice this magical technique in the dream state, and I kind of woke up, and the person who was teaching turned to me and said, "Yes, you are learning in your dreams. This is a safe space to learn that. It's okay to go ahead and try this technique in your dreams. Now go back to sleep." And it was very interesting. And I had that same dream over a period of time. Not that same dream, but the same sequence of dreams where we were learning things from this teacher in our dream state. What was interesting was when I approached the person in real life, wanted nothing to do with me. And it was like, okay, what was that all about? You know, so it just goes to show that in our dream state, we may be more open to teaching and learning than we are in our awake state, that we allow whatever our prejudice about other people to interfere with our growth and development as humans and as citizens of the planet. So that was just one more thing I wanted to cover in dreams. You know, keep track of your dreams if you find that interesting. There are a lot of books out there on it. You know, take them for what you will. If they seem valuable to you, if the techniques seem valuable, if you're curious, then that's something you might want to consider exploring. Be careful, just like everything else. Use your common sense. I mean, this is what experimentation in the universe is all about. Common sense and using your natural magical abilities, because we all have them. Intuition and healing, there's an element of magical abilities in there, of altering our relationship to the world around us, that we can only describe in terms of magic. We've got a commercial popping up in here. We're going to talk about astral projection, hallucinogens, and the multiverse, and a whole bunch of things after the break. But if you have any questions on this dreams and how we look at dreams and what your dreams might be, please email me at my website, robin@robinfritz.com. If you'd like to join in the conversation today, 202-570-7057. We'll be back after the break.
Your conscious connection to a more mindful world. Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
Change and growth are part of natural life and also part of your spiritual life. Everyone needs support and guidance, especially during life passages. Upgrade yourself with the Om Times Experts program. With Om Times Experts, you have access to the best intuitive coaches, spiritual teachers, counselors, astrologists, and oracles. Our team was carefully selected so you can trust. Find out more at experts.omtimes.com.
Hello, I'm Lisa Barry. Join me every Monday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time for Light on Living, a chance to see new, hear different, and feel more as I shine the spotlight on all the ways to lighten the load of life's challenges. Light on Living is your link to that new way you're looking for, that new understanding that will enhance your life, and that positive connection that will support your growth. So join me, and you'll gain insight and start to see things in a new way that motivates you.
I'm Fidel Nshombo. I was born in a city called Bukavu in the Congo. We were a loving family, and then, boom, everything that I had disappeared in a single day. People think that when you are a refugee, and they resettle you to America, and all your problems are done. They don't understand that that's the beginning of everything.
I was not born a refugee. I was made one.
It's time we welcome refugee families with open arms. Learn more at embracerefugees.org, brought to you by the Ad Council.
Welcome back to the Practical Intuitive Mind, Body, Spirit for the Real World. It's Robin Fritz. We're live in Seattle, Washington. Now, I work as a professional intuitive and spiritual consultant, and I'm a certified past life regression specialist, and I do a lot of teaching in webinars and in workshops and in private mentoring sessions. And, you know, here's the thing. When you think back to the 18th century, we had a group of people who were experimenting with the natural history of the planet, of really understanding how the planet worked, how air works, for example. And a lot of these people were ministers who had free time on their hands, and they were wandering around the countryside learning how nature worked. And they were sharing their experiences with other citizen scientists, so, as you will, around the country, around Europe. And I'm thinking of Great Britain and Western Europe in particular. But they were out there exploring the universe, sharing their insights. And of course, some of them were more interested in money and making a living at it because, you know, they had to. So they took and learned from these things and invented things and got patents and so on and so forth over time. I'm not talking right at that particular time, but over decades that kind of thing went on. But here was the really cool thing. A lot of what we've learned today, we learned because these people who were citizen scientists were curious. They went out to investigate the world and they shared what they learned. And that's what we are and should be doing today in the intuitive and healing communities. When we're exploring magic, when we look at what magic is, how it operates, and how some of us can do some things magically and others can't, and that's kind of a good thing. Magic can be extremely dangerous, or the use of it can be extremely dangerous. But sharing our experiences is crucial. It helps us grow. There is so much out there in the world that no one person can know everything. So my approach to the world is to share what I know, to share what I've personally experienced, and to hear what other people have experienced and learned, and then talk about it, share it together, experiment together, and learn and grow, just like the citizen scientists back in the 18th century started investigating. They weren't the only ones. This citizen scientist thing has gone on for as long as humans have been on the planet. I'm just referring to the application of more modern scientific methodology to exploring the world around us. Science doesn't give us the tools to explore intuition and healing and magic, but our brains do, our souls do, because our souls know about it. So how do you practice discernment in that situation? Well, as I've said before, look at the people you're working with. They may say things that seem really out there. And I have people come up to me after workshops and go, oh my gosh, you know, what you said about this or about that, that was so out there. But I had to stop and think about it because you're so well grounded and balanced. Now I need to go out and explore this for myself. Perfect. I'm not asking everybody to believe what I'm saying or teaching. I'm take people through experimenting in my workshops. Here's what I experienced. Now let's go and see how you experience this. And it's fascinating because people give themselves permission to explore their innate abilities. And that's what it's all about. Explore your innate abilities. Go out and share them with the world and go from there. So one of those things that I would explore and share is what other people call astral projection. Okay, so somebody emailed me and said, what is astral projection? Well, I don't really know how other people describe it or use it. I could spend time looking that up online, or I could tell you a story. And for me, the story is that I was doing a lot of these things and I didn't know what they were, which means that Robin walks around experimenting with the world and her spiritual team kind of makes sure that she doesn't do things that are dangerous, or tries to. As my spiritual team said to me one time, I'm personally physically handicapped and have been for many years. So there are a lot of things that I can't do that other people can do. And that's fine physically. I've learned to adapt. But that's also given me a mindset that helps me look at something and figure out a way to be able to deal with it in the limitations of my physical body. In my intuitive body, there aren't physical limitations, so I tend to be more of the outgoing explorer there, at least as my spiritual team describes it, or maybe, you know, clumsy and just overenthusiastic. But an example of astral travel. Now, some people say we all astral travel in our sleep, meaning that our spirit leaves our bodies and goes exploring. And then some people talk about a silver cord that connects you to your astral body, so it, you know, you don't pop up into a strange body. I find that all very weird, and I haven't personally experienced it like that. If you have, let me know. Let's have a conversation about it. But here's my experience of astral traveling. And it should give you an example of how to or to not do things. And that is to be very careful about describing what you are going to do when you experiment with your intuitive and healing abilities. For example, in my early days of my reawakening, I was working with all kinds of beings. And one of the things was air. And that helped me learn about what hurricanes do. And to teach me about air and how air operated, the hurricane bosses, as I called them, because I don't like calling things by names that start with God or goddess or deity or whatever. They just laughed at me. They didn't care what I called them. I didn't know what to call them, and they didn't give me any ideas. So I called them hurricane bosses. They would invite me to go down to the beach where I live and explore air. So I'd go down and I'd watch, you know, the leaves on the trees moving, and then the wind would play with me, and I'd feel, excuse me, I'm going to cough, feel a strong breeze on the left side of my face and nothing on the right. And I teach this in my workshop, how to go out and experience air, because what it really is experiencing the planet. But what I had to learn kind of the hard way was things like astral projection. So I become aware of different events around the world. And because I work as someone who talks with other beings, who kind of acts as intermediary between humans and other beings, kind of a translator, if you will. So all I do is I translate from human to other and other to human and back again. One of those people that's hopefully helping us have better relations with our non-human associates out there. So I had to learn that you have to be very careful about how you describe what you are going to do or what you are interested in doing. So I heard about an oil spill up near Alaska, somewhere up there. And at that particular time, I was working with volcanoes, especially with Mount St. Helens, which is our very active volcano here in Washington State, has been back in an eruptive phase since 2004. It's kind of quiet right now. And she's done her job of rebuilding her dome. But I heard about the oil spill. I had worked with several different oil spills, and I knew that there were different kinds of oil from working with that. And I heard about this big oil spill, and I thought, well, I'd like to investigate that. So I stretched out on my bed, and I thought, and I laid back, and I closed my eyes, and I said, I want to go see this oil spill in Alaska. Well, that was the wrong phrase to use, because go see, I literally was there in the next heartbeat. And that's why I said, be very careful how you phrase things, because your own soul and your spiritual team and whatever magical abilities you have will take that literally. So it's like, I want to go explore this oil spill. I should have said something like, I would like the oil spill to have a conversation, or I'd like to have a conversation with the oil spill. Said I wanted to go explore the oil spill. And the next thing I knew, I was hovering in the air above this oil spill on a very stormy day where the ocean is very rough. There's a, you know, small little, really hardly an island, and this oil was spilled everywhere. And I was like so stunned, because I was literally physically there as almost you could be without your body. And I was shocked and was kind of scared, because it was like, oh my God, I'm like up here in the air. And I started falling because I lost my concentration, and I was plummeting towards the sea, and I yelled out, Mount St. Helens, help me. And boom, I was jerked to a stop in midair. And I've told people, and people go, how did Mount St. Helens grab you? And I go like, wow, we were talking about the intuitive realms. I don't know how Mount St. Helens has arms. All I know is that she grabbed me and stopped, and we're hovering in the air, and she's looking at me, and she's like, okay, you know, you got to, like, be careful about how you say things, Robin. And I'm like, oh, my God. And she goes like, what are we doing here? And I said, we're looking at this oil spill. I just wanted to have a conversation with the oil spill. And so we're looking down at the oil spill, and it's looking back at us. And it's kind of like, wow, who are you? And so it looks at Mount St. Helens, and it goes, oh, mountain, erupting mountain. And Mount St. Helens goes, yes, they call me Mount St. Helens. And it looks at me and it goes, oh, human. And I said, yes, my name is Robin. And then it looked on the other side of me. And that's when I realized there was another being with me. And it said, what is that? And it was my car, my Toyota Matrix, which was also one of my spiritual team members back in a car body. Yeah, they can do all sorts of things. And I said, oh, that's a Toyota that uses oil. And so that's how we introduced ourselves to this oil spill. And we're still in this astral traveling mode. Okay, so we were still there in a very, very conscious way there, actually, in Alaska. And we had a conversation with the oil. And here's the thing. When we think about things like that, or we think about the resources that we use, the oil that we put in our cars, the gasoline, how we turn on a light switch and the light goes on, where does the energy for that come from? This oil had been in the ground for thousands of years, because that's how it becomes oil, right? And the particular form that it was in was put in a ship and then was going to a port where it would be offloaded and then turned into a product to be used by humans for something. And the oil had been expecting that. It was not feeling like a slave. It wasn't feeling like it had not been treated properly. It had just been expecting that it would be used for something. And it was looking forward to that experience. And it was never going to have it, because it had spilled. And there was no way, with the stormy weather, with how the seas were breaking, with the remote location, there was no way they were going to be able to recover that oil. And it was grieving. It was grieving for the opportunity that it lost. It was grieving for the experience that it wasn't going to have. It was grieving because what its life was going to be used for was no longer going to happen. And so Mount St. Helens and my car and I were looking at this oil spill grieving. And I told it, I'm sorry, but there's just no way that you can be recovered to be used. And it said, like, well, then what am I here for? What's going to happen? You know, what's going to go on? And Mount St. Helens is like, how can we help this? She goes, I don't even understand oil. And I said, excuse me, but you're a volcano, and you're going to tell me that in 10,000 years of growing yourself, you haven't squeezed out one drop of oil? Like, you know, it's plant matter and animal matter all, like, pressed together over thousands of years, and it becomes oil. And she goes, oh, okay, I get it. And we told the oil that we would bless it on its way. I mean, what else is there to do? And Mount St. Helens says, what can we do? And I said, there is only one thing that we can do. We can love it. We could just give it love. And so we did. My car, which would use oil, Mount St. Helens, which was understanding oil, and me, because that was, we were the ones who were there. I'm hoping there were other people present there intuitively in an astral projection way so that they could witness this, but I don't know. I was just aware of the three of us. And we blessed it, and we loved the oil, and we wished it success on its next journey, its next soul choice. So that's a little bit about what I know about astral projection. I don't know how people know that to say that they travel outside their bodies every time they sleep. I'm not even sure that would be a very good idea. It seems to me that would be exhausting, and sleep is like your opportunity for your body to rest up and recover so that you can go about your day the next day. And if you're astral projecting and having all of these experiences, you're not going to be quite as rested up the next day. At least I know I'm not. So when I'm going to do those kinds of things, when I'm going to actually say, okay, in my dreams, I'm going to go here to explore this, I'm very careful now about saying I'm going to go there, or let's go explore this oil slick, because that's going to end up right there at that place. Instead, you can explore that by saying, I would like to intuitively have a conversation with, or I would like to intuitively explore this oil slick from the safety of my chair without astral traveling, or whatever it is that you can say to make sure you stay safe and connected in your body. Because when you're out there exploring, there's a whole lot of things out there. Not all of them are benign. Not all of them are safe. And not all of them are things that you want to or should meet, because come on, they're just not all good. So think about that when you think about astral projection. But if you want to do that kind of thing, make sure you have safeguards around you. I wasn't smart enough at the time to develop those, but luckily I had a lot. In fact, other psychics that I'd worked with at the time were like looking at me like, what the heck? They'd never seen anybody with so many spirit guides. And it's because I'm a klutz, right? And somebody needs to watch out for me because I didn't know what I was doing. And that's why I'm out there teaching now, so that all of the extra spirit guides you may have because you're klutz like I was can maybe go do something else, because you're learning to fend for yourself a little bit better than I was at that time. So be careful of how you describe what you want to do, including astral traveling. Be sure you have a very competent spirit guide working with you 24/7. And if that spirit guide is not competent, is not on the job 24/7, is not paying attention, then you get yourself a different one, because your safety is paramount. So we'll be back after the break to talk about hallucinogens and spiritual journeys. Hang on, we'll be right back. Call in 202-570-7057.
A conscious lifestyle for a mindful life. Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
Ascending Hearts is no ordinary dating site, but a spiritual dating site with a purpose: to link you with your soulmate. We engineer the serendipity so you can trust that you will attune with someone that has the same matching vibration as you. Ascending Hearts, the conscious dating site for the spiritually aware. Try Ascending Hearts for free. AscendingHearts.com.
Hello, I'm Sandy Sedgbeer, host of Om Times Magazine's flagship radio show, What Is Going On? My passion is sifting through information, research, and innovations from New Thought teachers, speakers, and researchers pushing back the boundaries of what we know about life, energy, metaphysics, and the universe. I love shifting perceptions about who we are, why we're here, and how quickly impossible becomes normal when we open our minds, expand our awareness, and accept that the only limits that exist are those we place upon ourselves. So if you're the kind of forward-thinking, eager investigator of what lies beyond the current reality that most perceive, why not make a date to come play with me in the field of possibilities at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time every Thursday, and together we can discover what's really going on.
Today we decided to walk to school. The light counted. 15, 14.
31? I mean, 13?
We took a left on Carroll Street. Danny's smart, but he gets distracted. He realized he forgot his homework. I hope he doesn't have another bad day at school.
When you can see learning and attention issues from their side, you can be on their side. That's why there's Understood.org, a free resource for the parents of the 1 in 5 kids with learning and attention issues. Go from misunderstanding to Understood.org. Brought to you by Understood and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to the Practical Intuitive Mind, Body, Spirit for the Real World. It's Robin Fritz, and we're talking about all the different things that people have emailed me about, questions that they'd like to explore. Now, we're going to talk about hallucinogens and spiritual journeys, and we're also going to talk about the multiverse. But one quick thing is that I get a lot of questions about astrology and tarot, and my quick answer is I don't know anything about either one of them. I had my astrology chart done some years ago, and I was like, yeah, so what, you know? And it's not because, well, it was because it is because I already knew all that stuff about myself, which means that maybe I'm too anal for astrology. I don't know. But my main modus operandi, so to speak, I'm analytical and skeptical. So I'm the perfect person to be exploring all kinds of intuitive things because I'm always very rational, very like, okay, I'm interested. This has to make sense to me in some sort of way. And that's how I've explored the world, and that's how I know that the things that I've explored and encountered are real. And I guess that's how I stay grounded and balanced, because I am analytical and skeptical. But astrology and tarot, I think, have been valuable. I know in previous lifetimes, I studied astrology. We were very careful and secretive about it because it was dangerous. Because anything that will give you your personal power is going to be dangerous to the systems that are trying to squash it, any religious, government, or cultural system that's trying to control you, even your resident guru, of which I am not. But I have a real concern about people who depend on other things, whether a psychic reading or astrology or tarot, or who pay so much attention to things like, I see it all over Facebook, oh, the eclipse energy has gotten me, oh, eclipse this, and oh, eclipse that, and I'm like, okay, come on. If it helps you to look at the lunar cycles as important in your life, great. And I finally figured out recently, it's like, why is everybody all worried about lunar cycles? Because that's how the ancients could tell how the time went. That's that simple. If you could gauge the moon, assuming, you know, you got a few cloud-free days here and there, you could understand planning cycles and everything else, and you could figure out how time moved before we invented clocks and calendars. But anything that takes away your personal power is going to interfere with that. So if you're going to say, oh, the eclipse energy, and I'm all upset and I can't get grounded and balanced, it's because you're saying you can't get grounded and balanced. Don't think it has anything to do with the eclipse energy. Think about it. If what you're thinking or what people are telling you about astrology, tarot, lunar cycles, eclipses, all of those things, new wave of energy, ascension process, if any of that is upsetting you, keeping you ungrounded, or taking away your personal power, maybe it's not something that's there for you. Maybe you should think about something else. Or think about why you're using it and how that affects you. It may be something that really gives value to your life. More power to you for that. I'm just saying, be really careful. I've had my power taken away from me so many times in my life that I don't let that happen anymore. And I don't want people to get to my advanced age and still be working on the surrendering your power issue. So I'm very big on hanging on to your power, which brings me to the topic of hallucinogens and spiritual journeys. People ask, well, do you need to take drugs to be in an open state, to be more receptive? And I'm like, hell no, of course not. And in fact, that's probably extremely dangerous. You know, a lot of people are going to Peruvian jungles or wherever, you know, and having these, I can't even pronounce the names of the various hallucinogens that people use under the supervision of a shaman or whatever. There's another one out there that I saw in a meetup gathering that I went to, Cambo medicine, frog medicine, and how they milk these frogs. Well, it's a highly hallucinogenic property on the skins of these frogs. That's why nothing in the jungle is going to try to eat them, because everything in the jungle is smarter than the humans that are milking these frogs for their drugs. But people claim to have really empowering experiences from these, and people that I know and respect that I know are grounded and balanced people. So I have to look at that and go, huh, Okay, well, I'm not interested in that. I'm not going to take a drug that's going to affect my whatever because I'm just not going to do that. I don't smoke and I can't even have a glass of wine anymore because I get a headache from it. So I'm not going to experiment with hallucinogens. And I would question whether anything, any information that you get from an altered state of being from a drug is going to give you accurate information. So think about that while you're deciding whether you want to explore this. Now, some people tell me they've had real growth, real spiritual growth, as well as physical growth from taking Campbell frog medicine. I would still not do it. But again, these are well-balanced people that are doing it. Is the insight you're gaining, though, a bunch of crap, or are the drugs poisoning your brain, or are you gaining some real insight from it? Now that's what you'll have to decide for yourself, because I'm not sure. I don't think so. But again, that is not my experience. And my experience is I can sit down and say, I would like to talk to a volcano, or I would like to talk to the hurricane currently wherever it is. And I can instantly do that. But I have worked at my intuitive abilities for a period of time, and as I said, I had lots of spirit guides keeping me alive while I was goofing off and making mistakes, which is why I teach now, so that other people don't make those mistakes and can get further than I've gotten and can advance our knowledge of all these intuitive and healing realms. I don't think you need a hallucinogen for that. You just need common sense. You need to be well grounded and balanced. You need to have a really good spiritual team member. And you need to be open to the wonders of the universe. And you don't need a drug for that. If you look at the world as an and the universe as a gathering of equals, that everything out there has something to share, then you can talk directly to the hallucinogen that's in the milk on that frog without having the experience of the hallucinogen messing up your body. That's my opinion. I stand by it. So I would not recommend anyone try any of those things. But again, other people have had really great experiences. They've also become violently ill and other things. So there you go. Now, on to the multiverse. What the heck is a multiverse? Well, I know from my personal experience that there's more than one universe out there and that they overlap. And very interesting, and I get the people for past life regressions that are having really interesting experiences that they feel more comfortable sharing with me because I'm pretty open about having pretty interesting experiences myself. So I'm not surprised or horrified or are ready to commit somebody to mental health counseling because they come and tell me an experience they've had and that they want to explore it in a past life regression. So I've had people in past life regressions or in spiritual consulting sessions where they want to look at whatever issue they want to look at. And they're very aware of having concurrent lifetimes in alien dimensions. I'm not going to question that because it pops up and I see it. And I have had frequent and regular conversations with people that we would call aliens, and I've called them on that. And I said, like, okay, I've been talking with you for about 2 hours, and you don't feel like anything I've ever connected with on the planet. So now I'm kind of wondering, are you on this planet? And they're going like, no. And I'm like, okay, are you alien? Well, as you would describe aliens, yes. Are you aliens with death rays? I watch too much science fiction. They go like, no, we are not aliens with death rays. And I said, okay then, please, if you show up here on this planet with death rays, I'm going to be really ticked off, really, and we're going to make sure you don't get here. But like, tell me who you are. And so these beings that we call aliens are really living in alternate universes. Some are alternate Earths, some are other alternate planets. They actually exist. I visited some of them. And I know other people that have. I know other people that have visited them and have been surprised that I visited them on my own because they said they have never had anybody experience them alone. And that's because, again, I'm a klutz and I kind of stumble into things probably when I shouldn't. But to give you an example of how that works, was driving to the store. I've lived in my beach community for 30 years. I was driving to the store one day up a windy hill here in Seattle. And all of a sudden, I had this wave of like massive dizziness roll over me. And my first thought, it was like the world just suddenly went dark. And my first thought wasn't that I was having a heart attack or a stroke. It was that I suddenly had acquired dementia driving down the street. Because I guess that's what I'm afraid of, is dementia. And I was like, oh my God, what was that? What just happened? And then boom, I wasn't in Seattle anymore, at least not the Seattle that I knew. And I was driving in an alternate Seattle. And the reason I knew it was an alternate Seattle is I was in my car. We were on a street going up the same hill. All the buildings were different. The trees were different. They were different colors. They were different shapes and sizes. It was clearly an alien Seattle, and it was real. And I was like, how did that just happen? And I work with dragons. The queen of the dragons lives at my house because my animal kids are very adept magicians, if you will, and their job is to act as intermediaries, as ambassadors between other dimensions. And so we have dragons at our house. And dragons facilitate multidimensional travel. If you didn't know that, you do now. And I was like, oh, my God, Lorena, get me out of here. And Lorena is the queen of the dragons. And I was instantly back in my Seattle. I was like, what was that? What just happened? She goes, well, you were just went into a different Seattle. I go, how did I do that? Well, I haven't been able to do that again on my own, but I haven't actually tried. It was like, okay, when you think about it in a practical sense, what was around that corner? And if people are in other alternate Earths, are they aware of us, more aware of us, and do they have guards up? I mean, what was around that corner? So I wouldn't advise checking out a multiverse in your car, because that's like really obvious. I mean, it's like you can't hide around a corner from whatever it is that you might be facing in that alternate planet or disrupting their life stream. And you see a lot of this in fiction. All I'm saying is it is real. The multiverse is real. I talk with beings in different dimensions all the time. I work with my dad in the afterlife. That afterlife is a dimension. But my dad and I have also worked with stuck aliens on different planets, helping them move. And my dad was like, really? I'm going to be working with aliens? And I said, hey, Dad, you're the one who asked me to be a medium. So you got to play along here with the other things that show up. So, and this surprises other people who are dead, who come to my dad's way station to have conversations with me and their family members. And here's the thing, the world is, and the universe is much bigger than we know, much more involved, much more fascinating, and it's there for you to explore. But explore it safely, explore it with an open mind and humility and respect. When you approach other beings, whether they're aliens in different dimensions, dragons that work between dimensions, or the tree in your backyard, or the animals who are sharing your home with you, look at them and treat them as equals. Be respectful, be patient with yourself and with them, and ask them what they're up to. Ask them what they would like to share with you, because I promise you, I'm having all of these experiences because I'm open to it. And you can too, if you're open to it. And if we let go of our arrogance and our egotism as humans and just be there present with other beings in whatever they've chosen to be in that lifetime, however they've chosen to grow their soul. I don't know what a soul is doing in a Lego body, but it's doing something, just like the deli lids I talked about last week were doing something in my drawer, holding space for me while I was grieving, when they were done with their jobs of holding the food in the container, in the deli container. So get out there and explore the world. Be safe. Get a strong spirit guide. And come back and share with me the experiences that you've learned. Because sharing our experiences and going, oh my God, I had this really out there experience. Like, was I hallucinating or what? Well, you know, we're not 100% right about everything. But if we keep learning and growing, just like those 18th century citizen scientists, just like the ancient Greeks, and the ancient Romans, just like our ancestors, going back to the beginning of the human race. We're in it together. We're out there exploring it together. The world is more mysterious than we know, and the universe certainly is. So next week, we're going to be talking about practical matters about our animal families. Because there are a lot of things out there about talking about practical intuition in real life with our animal families that will get us back to understanding how intuition works with us in our daily lives and how we work with it. And a lot of misconceptions about our animal families that I'd like to clear up for you with my own experience. So for today, let's close out and just put your hands on your heart, cross your hands over your heart, and as you breathe in, just think about all the things that you can now explore in the safety of your own home with the support of your spiritual team around you, and learning to take your power back by just exploring the world around you, the universe around you. Ask your spiritual team to bring in the beings that would be interested in meeting with you and get to know them. Plants are fascinating beings. And they're growing right there next to you in your yard or on the sidewalk. Meet them and enjoy them. And now as you breathe into the palms of your hand, just imagine that healing energy getting you grounded back into your body so that you can go back about your day rested, relaxed. Now, if you'd like to contact me for sessions, intuition, personal and business intuition, mediumship, animal communication, space clearing, past life regression, between life regression, soul progression clearing, meet your spiritual team, go on a spiritual journey, please contact me at my website, robinfritz.com, and support the Om Times team with likes on their Facebook page, listen to the other shows, and I'll be back next week. Thank you for joining us. Take care.